Now when you think of Uber, you think, okay, Uber's cracking the code on urban mobility. And it's changing the way people get around cities. But if you look at what's on the display there, that was our initial app. It started from a super unambitious, you know, the two founders wanted to get a car in Paris and were very frustrated. And they loved the idea. They had this romantic notion that it would be awesome if you could push a button and a black town car would roll up and take you somewhere. And that was the foundation of what we've become today. And this is what this was our real-time operations view a few weeks after we launched. I wasn't there at the time, but this is like almost 8 years. I guess about 8 years ago now. Travis and Garrett, the two founders, were super pumped that it's a term we use a lot at Uber. That they could we had 12 cars running in parallel, taking people from point A to point B. Obviously it's grown a lot since then. What's happened is as we started getting more and more scale, we started to realize that this urban mobility is not a solved problem at all. And I'm sure many of you have traveled around the world and visited many cities that are just gridlocked all the time. There's actually a lot of deeper problems with urban mobility, like, for example, access to jobs. A lot of people don't have access to jobs. They live in places that are not close to transportation that can get them to a job in an economical and time-efficient way. And so they're sort of locked out of the job market in many ways. They just can't afford to live close enough to transportation. This is the kind of thing that Uber can solve and does solve. And what we basically realize is that if we just keep lowering, this is a kind of the thought process, part of the thought process for the aviation aspect, if we just keep lowering price, transportation, we're going to affect more and more people, and we're going to unlock more and more opportunities in cities. And so we started with Black Car, and then we built a new product at the time called UberX. And UberX was essentially a peer-to-peer model, which meant that just anybody who owned a car could participate on the network. This was one of the big ideas. And we were able to charge a lot less money for that because of the structure of that business. And so people were suddenly, we saw what happened is we just entered hypergrowth as a company. Even the Black Car product was growing fast, but when we got the price point down to like a half of what Black Car was, it suddenly started exploding. And then we said, hey, look at as the density of this thing is growing, are we able to do even better? Can we take it to the next level by having people actually share cars? That was a super crazy idea, a few years ago. It was actually one of the first things that my team built when I got to Uber. I remember the time we were like, do you think people would actually, get in a car with a stranger? How much of a discount would they have to get on a trip to get in a car with a stranger? And ride with them from point A to point B? And there are all kinds of questions about, is this going to be safe? Is it going to be a weird experience, et cetera, et cetera? But in Uber style, we just built the product and we put it out there to see what would happen. And the answer was, yes, people will do this. And in fact, now, 50% of our trips in San Francisco are Uber pool trips, which means that people are literally requesting at roughly the same time from roughly the same place and going to roughly the same location in real time. And we're able to join those trips together because of the scale of the business and the number of trip requests that are coming in. And as you can see on these stats here, Uber pools had a profound impact on just like efficiency in cities, and congestion and so forth, reducing miles driven by 312 million. But this is the first 7 months that Uber pools in operation. We should probably actually update these stats because they're much more intense now. But 312 million miles in the first 7 months of its operation were saved, driven miles. So that's like cars off the road, that cars that would otherwise be there taking up, valuable kind of space and making congestion even worse. Cutting CO2 emissions by 55,000 plus metric tons and 6.2 million gallons of fuel saved that fills 9 Olympic swimming pools, I found out. That's an interesting stat. It's obviously many more Olympic swimming pools now. But that's one of the things that we're super excited about. Cracking urban mobility not only gets people sort of moving around cities more efficiently and gives people their time back, but we can absolutely improve cities. We can remove parking structures and re-green those areas. We can get pollution out of the air. We can save on fuel. We can just make the environment much better. So we're excited about that. And this is kind of what that operational tool I showed you earlier with 12 cars in it, this is like a slow day in San Francisco now. And so, it's pretty crazy. It's sort of hard to use this tool except for you don't like dial into a specific car anymore like you used to be able to do. We would actually say I'm going to talk to this driver and click on the car or dispatch this driver. Now it's of course all fully algorithmic and much more efficient, the marketplace technology. So this future that we're creating is something that I get very, very passionate about, and it extends super, super well into the air. Today, as I mentioned earlier, we have 65 million active riders in the network. And as I'm saying this, be thinking about what will happen the day that Uber Air launches and somebody can just push a button and get a flight. This is in 600 cities in 77 countries and 7 continents. We're not in Antarctica, last time I checked, so we're working on that. Actually, we're not working on that. And then with Uber Pool, in the cities where we offer it, it's 20% on average of trips in those cities and growing. So I said 50% in San Francisco. That was the first city we had Uber Pool in. So I'll make one last thing on ground transportation is self-driving technology, which is also very relevant to air transportation because automation is going to be a big part of the story around air transportation. And the big next step, and so I talked about kind of continuing to reduce the cost and how that makes it more accessible to more people, and the scale yields all this, accrues all these benefits to cities. Self-driving technology is like an order of magnitude reduction in cost for the trip. And so what we'll see is it will sort of unlock the next tranche of demand for ride sharing. And in fact, it gets the cost so low that it's below the cost of variable car ownership. And what I mean by that is it becomes economically irrational to drive your car versus taking an Uber. Even if you already own the car, even if you factor in the fact that you've taken the capital and bought and deployed it on the car, it becomes economically irrational. Just the gas, insurance, and maintenance costs are larger than than taking Ubers everywhere you want to go. That's exciting. That's when you start to get into this world where individual car ownership is no longer a thing, except if you want to drive for a hobby or something, race on a track. So this brings me to urban aviation, which is actually why you guys are here. And hopefully I think you'll see that backdrop helps because it really shows why Uber is so passionate about this space and putting so much energy into it. It's a direct continuation, kind of right in the crosshairs of what Uber's trying to do. And I want to show you guys a short video that sort of shows our thought process a little bit as we got into aviation. Uber's on Earth to crack the code on urban mobility. It's what we've been working on in different ways for many years. How do we make our cities smarter? How do we help people move through their cities with greater efficiency? So far, we've been focused on ground-based transportation. And for us, the natural next step was flight. We started off by asking ourselves the question, why can't we fly today? Why can't we take to the air? So in Uber fashion, we took a deep look at the challenge of flying people in and around cities on demand. We quickly realized it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. Flying really can replace driving in many cases, saving people precious time. And it can be done in a way that is ultimately less expensive than car ownership, as well as friendly to the environment and the community. But the big win is the time savings. Trips that can take hours on the ground can be reduced to minutes in the air. Giving time back to people is something we're very passionate about at Uber. That's more time with family, more time growing our economies, and lower stress for everyone.
We started developing a first principle view of how to go about doing this and what sort of vehicle it would take to accomplish this mission. And during this process, we discovered that this vehicle was not a helicopter, but rather electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles, or eVTOLs. eVTOLs will make our lives easier, our commutes shorter, and our cities cleaner and more productive. They'll fundamentally change how our cities function and how we live in them. At NASA, my team and I spent decades researching the technology that enables this, distributed electric propulsion, or DEP. This technology allows these aircraft to operate in urban centers safely and quietly.
Skyscrapers change cities by taking advantage of the space above cities. Urban aviation will do the same, and in the process, it will reduce congestion on the ground and make our cities feel more open and more accessible for everyone.
Of course, all of this won't just happen overnight, but in true Uber fashion, we're pushing forward as quickly as possible, and we're not going at it alone. We're already working with manufacturers and suppliers, governments and regulators from dozens of countries, the most innovative engineers all over the world, investors and real estate developers, and NASA and air traffic control. We're excited to unite this community around a common goal so this idea can take off safely, but also as quickly as possible.
I believe as we start to launch this Uber product, you'll work closely with the cities, closely with the county, very close to the state of Texas.
At Uber, we're not only providing a marketplace for millions of riders, we're also working with local and federal governments to build out a network operations center and air traffic management systems to make these flights practical and safe. No one has a monopoly on the future. It's going to be shared, and so will the journey that takes us there.
And the benefits of VTOL transportation will be shared by everybody. Just like we did with Uber Pool on the ground, we'll be able to make commuting by air equally as affordable.
Together with our partners, we've created the Uber Elevate Network, to usher in this future of transportation. The shared passion and the combined expertise are powerful.
The reason I think this industry is going to be successful faster than anyone thinks is every single product-oriented person, every engineer, anyone that had an inkling that they wanted to be in that space when they were a little kid is dying to build this.
It's very much the early morning on day one of this adventure. The Uber Elevate Network will be growing to include more cities, technology partners, and investors. If you're as passionate as we are about this future, join us.
You're the lucky one. You're the one that gets to shape the future of this city for the next century. And that's what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. We're creating something that folks in 2117 are going to look back and say they were truly visionaries.